This is URN.
Hi, I'm Catherine from University Radio Nottingham. I'm joined by Lily Moore, an up-and-coming artist from Brighton originally. So, hi Lily, are you having a good day so far?
I am. I'm having a lovely day. It's a, what day is it? Friday.
It's a Friday. So, straight off the bat, I wanted to talk about the Student Radio Awards because that's where I saw you perform a couple weeks back. You did a live performance there and smashed it, might I add. How did you find it? I'm assuming it's a bit different to your usual gigs.
It was quite fun, actually. It reminded me a bit of, like, maybe like a prom.
Right.
Something like that. It was fun.
Would you say that, obviously, most of the people there were, well, actually, there were some industry professionals as well, but there's mostly students there because it was the Student Radio Awards. Would you say students and younger people are generally your main audience that you're targeting, or...?
I'm not really sure to... I mean, I'm at the age of being a student. Most of my mates are in their last year at uni or halfway through uni now. So it's definitely a group of people I can identify with and feel similar to. But I don't know, anyone can listen to anything. I kind of, yeah, I like the idea that everyone listens to it. But I don't know, I've never been to uni, so I get really overexcited when I'm around students because I feel like, oh, I should have done, I'd love to go.
So you were raised in Brighton and you came up on the music scene there. How did you get started doing gigs there? Did you start doing open mics or did you know someone who ran a venue? Or
it was a bit of everything, really. I had a guitar teacher called Gordon who was amazing and he kind of gave me the guts to go out and do some open mics. And then once you've done a couple open mics, you're kind of on the circuit a little bit. And then I've been doing loads more open mics. And then, yeah, eventually I got onto doing The Great Escape, which is how I met my managers.
Oh, and cool.
How I kind of started doing sessions and, yeah, got where I am now.
Nice. And do you have, like, a venue or a festival that kind of next on your bucket list that you want to perform at?
It's a really tricky one because I was so... I still can't believe I did this, but I got to play at the Royal Albert Hall with George Ezra. And that was my biggest dream in the world, to play at the Albert Hall. I feel like it's probably most British musicians' dream, but anyway, that was my obsession in my head for years. So the fact that I did that now, I need to really think of a new dream. Oh, Glastonbury would be sick.
Yeah.
Glastonbury, listen, I want to do Glastonbury. Definitely.
And as well, you have your own... Back in Brighton, I believe, you have your own club night / residency called More More, is that right?
Oh, it's in London.
In London, sorry. So, can you tell me a little bit more about that? What was the inspiration to start it up?
It was kind of inspired by growing up in Brighton, like, and doing all those open mics and having so many places that I could just go and practice some songs that I'd just written or just, I don't know, find my feet. So I moved to London when I was 18, 19. And yeah, I kind of missed that. Like, suddenly there wasn't anywhere I could just go and hang out with my mates and have a beer and sing some songs. So I found this little bar called Mau Mau and yeah, started putting on little nights there with people that I respect and love their music. And I get them to come down. And then, yeah, from that, it's actually been really good because I've met some amazing people. And then I've been putting together my mixtape, which all of it comes out on Thursday. The songs aren't out already, and a lot of people who played have ended up writing with me on it or featuring on it. So, yeah.
And this is a bit out of left field, but I was thinking to myself, obviously the name of the night is More More. And when I thought of that, I thought of that disco track by Andrea True, More More More. And I was thinking, if you
more,
ever
want to...
Exactly. I was thinking...
Banger.
If you ever wanted to extend your residency to, like, a disco night, you should definitely call it that.
I'd be down. Well, I messed up because we actually upgraded it to the 100 Club last time we did it because, I'm not going to lie, it was getting very full. So we moved it and then I was like, this just makes no sense now because More More Mau Mau kind of sounds sick, but More More 100 Club, I just sound mental. So
what kind of music are you into at the moment? What are you liking right now?
Variation of things. I mean, I always have my old school bangers in my pocket that I listen to and without fail. Like, I'm always listening to I don't think there's a day where I won't listen to an Aretha Franklin song at some point. Oh, ouch, what do I like at the moment? I've been listening to a lot of Yellow Days, Easy Life. I'm liking all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I like I like Easy Life. Are you influenced by any artist vocally? Obviously, you're going to be, but I'm just asking, who are you influenced by?
Yeah, I'd probably say people I grew up listening to, like, grew up listening to a lot of Etta James, and my sister bought me my first ever Irma Thomas CD, and I grew up listening to lots of big soul voices, and I think I naturally sound like that anyway, so much so that I wasn't actually allowed in the school choir for a long time because I was too loud and boozy. I think that's sort of what I've grown up listening to, and I thought, oh, do you know what, I could sound like them, or like, I want to sound like them, rather than vocally trying to sound like a nice young lady.
I mean, they have legends for a reason, so I think that's fair enough. And this is probably a hard question, but what is more important in music to you? What do you look for more, lyrics or the kind of melody and sound?
Probably lyrics. Okay. I say that because I find it so hard to listen to music that doesn't have any lyrics to it. I get really impatient. Obviously, there is amazing instrumentals out there, or classical music, or jazz music, there's so many things, but for me, I love it when I kind of need the story to be chucked in my face.
No, I get that. But with yourself, is it the same or is it different?
Probably the same, yeah. Like, I do a lot of co-writing, and I'd say I probably do more of the lyric side than the instrumentation or the other stuff, because I'm not very good on guitar. I can't really play piano to save my life. So that's where other people come very handy, whereas I think the lyrics are something that I feel like I love doing.
So as well, you've recently released some singles to tease your upcoming mixtape, which is called More More. And you've released Undo, featuring Dan Kaplan, which is my personal fave. You've got Nothing On You, you've got In Between, featuring Maverick Sabre. So there's some cool collaborations in there. Also one coming out with Toby's Trip. So how did they all come about?
Mm-hmm. Dan Kaplan, I just love his voice and love him. So I asked if he'd go on that song with me, and he said yes, which I was bloody chuffed for him. I don't know, everyone on it is just people that I adore, and I think that, and with In Between, that was the first time I'd written like a song that's just completely soul. It's completely true to being like an old school soul song. There's not really any part of it that's trying to be cool or be young. It's just like, this is it. So the fact that it's gone down well with people has really made me very happy. But when I was thinking, I want to get someone else on it, for me it was like, I have to have Maverick Sabre on it, because he's got the best, like, male soul voice, in my opinion. If you shut your eyes, it could be someone like Donny Hathaway or Sam Cooke.
Yeah, it's so gorgeous.
So, yeah, him coming on it was brilliant.
And do you have any, like, ideal dream collaborations that you would love to do?
Beyonce. No, I don't know.
I mean, you wouldn't turn it down, would you?
I don't know. Definitely not. She'd probably make me sound like but I'm there for that. Yeah, Beyonce actually would be quite sick. I'm going to stick with that.
Okay.
I can't think of anything more left field at the moment.
Yeah, that's fair. Anyways, so obviously every song is going to be personal to you a different way on the mixtape, but do you have a particular track that is your baby, like one that you're especially proud of?
There's one on there that I wrote at my kitchen table, and it's a voice, we've kept it as just a little voice note, and it's called How Do I Tell You? Pretty sure it's called that, because it was the name of my road, and I was like, that's a bit sketchy. So I changed the name at last minute. And I remember waking up one morning like, I really fancy this person, and I'm never going to tell them, and it's so annoying. So I just sat and wrote the song, and it was so quick and so easy, and I felt like I wanted to put that on there. So, yeah, I love that one. A song called Houdini, which I love. Oh, there's one called Better Than Me, which I did with my friend Matilda Homer, who played at Mau Mau. That's how I met her. So, yeah, we ended up going to the pub one night and getting a bit wavy, and decided to write the song, and then it ended up being good enough to be on the mixtape as well. So, yeah, all of them mean something to me. All of them have a little funny story behind them.
So you can't pick between your children, I guess.
No, I couldn't. If they were all on a cliff together, I couldn't. I could just keep all of them. I don't know what to do.
And a couple months back, you released a music video for your track Over You, which features you walking around the supermarket, in the pub, on the tube. So I was wondering, was it all staged to look casual, or were you actually filming people having a bev in the pub or like on their commute?
I can't explain to you how casual it was. Like, it was, me and my two managers basically just went out for the day because we're trying so hard to think, like, what should we do for the video? What should we do for the video? And it's really easy to overthink that stuff. And then because the song's obviously a bit disgusting and outrageous, I was like, I think it'd be so funny to sing it in like a library or somewhere just completely inappropriate because everyone at first might think, oh, it's a lovely song, and then cut to all the time. So then I was like, then the library thing sort of migrated into, why just do a library when I could embarrass myself in loads more places? And then,
so were you nervous at all to make the video like that in public, or was it completely fine?
I was nervous at some bits, but you just got to go for it. And we'd kind of get out there before anyone would clock what was going on. Like, I was in a supermarket with the camera taped on the front. And so that I could get the camera to stay still, I had to strap a sanitary towel on the bottom of it. So I was just literally walking around the supermarket with a sanitary towel and a camera and a trolley full of whatever I pulled off the shelf. And I was a bit like, I'm definitely going to get chucked out. And then sort of as people clock that you're being a weirdo, I would get out of there. So, you know, wasn't really enough time to be too embarrassed.
That's so funny. That's so funny to hear the like production behind it.
It was so real. When we got on the tube, it was like one of us is definitely going to stack it. But people do not like being filmed. I could totally appreciate that. But no one's faces are in it apart from the guy that was pissed in the pub. The like scariest pub I've ever been in my whole life. I'm not joking. He jumped in the way, so I was like, he obviously loved it. So let's keep him in. But everyone else, there's not really anyone in it. But I did get some woman to stick her bloody leg out.
That's so funny. I rate you for being able to do that in public, because I don't think I could do it, to be fair.
Oh, it was kind of like an alter ego. I didn't really feel like me. I felt a bit like Devo or someone a bit.
Devo. So a few questions now for people who don't know you. So these are very serious, important questions. They'll give people a glimpse into who you are. So if you don't mind, okay. So what's your go-to takeaway and what would you order?
Indian takeaway. I'd get a king prawn chili masala and some mushroom rice and probably like 9 side dishes. I would go in hard. Definitely about 9 poppadoms.
You're binge watching something on Netflix or the TV. What is it?
At the moment, Fresh Meat. Just discovered it.
Just?
I feel really stupid that I've never noticed it before. I love British telly, so I'm really enjoying Fresh Meat. I'm slightly addicted at the moment, but, you know, it's fine.
And most importantly, if you were a meme, what meme would you be? Because I feel like I'm definitely that white cat that's being yelled at by those two ladies.
Who's that guy that's got the little, like, the weird smile? He's got white hair, and he's got that smile that's like, I can't really explain it on the phone, but I'd probably be the weird guy with the weird smile that just always looks a bit awkward in that place.
Okay, yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. To round this off, I just wanted to ask, what's next from you? Have you got any big future plans? Any tour, any gig, anything like that?
Hopefully my own tour will be soon. I'm just going to keep releasing stuff. Next year's going to be a good year, I hope. I've got a couple singles lined up, which I'm really excited for. I just want to carry on doing what I'm doing now, but on a bigger scale. More touring, more songs, more videos, more everything. And yeah, keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, that sounds all great. So that's all the questions I have for you. Thank you for chatting to me today. It was
Thank you.
No worries.
Last night, it almost felt just like it did the first time. We put all our injuries to one side, wrapped ourselves in white lies and decorated them.